Hello, this is Natalie, also known as Starcast. I guess they're not going to do their opening blog talk radio thing, and that's fine with me. But we have another beautiful guest. We've already chatted a little bit for about 6 or 7 minutes and hit it off just great. And you know Natalie does her very best, and I will bring the very best to you every week that I can. But this lady is very special out in the world. She's done some really great things most of her life. I'm going to ask her some questions about it, and then I'm going to bring her into my world. I didn't even tell her this, but my world is actually just like hers, only it might not be as out there in the open. Although you never know, right? You never know. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring on Ariane D. Bonvoisin. She said to just say, or Bonvoisin, she said just say her name like that. Don't do it the other way because I probably wouldn't say it right. Welcome, Ariane. You pronounce it Ariane or Ariane?
Thanks, Natalie. It's great to be on your show. It's pronounced Ariane.
Ariane, see? Very good. Okay, welcome. My show is interviews with people. You can be well known. I'm going to be doing a variety of people. I put out the word. Well, yeah, I put out the word, and everybody is sending me, I want you to interview me. Do me, which is really nice for me because I don't have to go and say, can I please interview you? But I'm very honored to have you tonight, especially for all the work you've done. And I'm going to tell the audience a bit about you. You're an avid traveler.
Yes.
You have degrees in economics and international relations from the London School of Economics and an MBA from Stanford, which is very impressive to me. You launched your first business in 2008, and that was first30days.com. You have a lot of sites, and we're going to go into this one in particular called mindful365.com. You have books out. You've been on radio. You've been on television. I could go on and on and on about you, and we are honored here tonight. And I know there's a lot of people listening. I just have this good feeling about it. Sometimes I get a feeling, you know what I'm saying, Ariane, and sometimes, maybe not, but we won't know until at the end, you know, maybe a week or so, and they'll let me know exactly what we did. But it doesn't matter. Like you and I were talking, it can be five, it can be two, it can be just you and I recording our conversation and laughing and smiling and bringing some beautiful stuff out to the world. So with that, I'm going to start. I'm going to bring you into my world. This is what I want to do with you. I thought about how can I do this with her? Well, go back a ways, Ariane, when you first started, okay? Maybe you were a young girl.
First started
a little girl,
my human journey or first started my spiritual journey?
Spiritual journey. When you knew, I want to do this. I want to, and you have to know when you can write and when you can produce and people are going to, so just go back to kind of the beginning because most of the listeners are not, you know, they're not well known. They're just regular people. And maybe they're aspiring writers, you know, musicians, illustrators, artists. I have some artists I'm going to have on, some musicians I'm going to have on. But all of these people who are starting out, and you have a great success story. But I will say this, you worked very hard for it. There's no doubt in my mind. So go back to the kind of the beginning Why did you start this? Why did you start doing this?
You know, I grew up all around the world. I was brought up in 6 countries on 3 continents. And I had quite a sort of safe growing up education lifestyle. My parents really pushed education. They really pushed achievement and academics and being perfect and competition. And that was all very sort of external. And I'd say my first sort of wake-up call to more of my inner life and my spiritual self, I was sent to boarding school in the UK. It was a all-girls Catholic school, which was very foreign to me. My parents were living in Asia at the time, and I found myself in this environment that was not me. And the only way really for me to survive was to go inward as opposed to outward, because the outside environment, I didn't have friends, I didn't fit in. I was a very good student because I felt that that was important. But I started going inwards for my peace, for my comfort, for a connection to something greater, because I was so alone in some ways, and I was so confused about what I was doing there. And what started to happen, I'd say, for the next 10 years was I had sort of these two lives. So I had a very, you know, good, successful external life. I was a star athlete. I was very good at my studies. I was the youngest person in college. I got a first-class degree. But then I had a very parallel sort of, I was in the spiritual closet in some ways. So I was very secret. So I would read the books, and I would do the prayer, and I'd do the meditation, and I was searching. I was searching pretty much everywhere and anywhere, whether it was angels, whether it was any tradition possible. And I found myself sort of, you know, post-business school, post an MBA, post a big career, feeling like those two worlds were starting to crash a little bit, because externally I climbed a very high corporate ladder. I did very well here in New York. I was in investments and finance and the internet, but it was the wrong ladder. And my soul and my spirit were so, you know, silent and dead and just not really feeling like there was a place for them. And I started tuning in more, and my inner microphone got very loud and was saying things like, you know, you're in the wrong job, you're sleeping with the wrong guy, you've got to lose some weight. Yeah, 'cause I had quite a bit of weight at the time, which was sort of my safety and my protection from not having that be seen. And I'd say around, you know, 30, 32, I got down on my knees, I prayed to everyone and anything that was listening to me for the courage to make a change and to sort of stop having these two parts of myself, because it was exhausting, and to integrate them and to show up, you know, in one way and to come out of the spiritual closet, whether it was with men that I were dating or in the work that I was going to do in the world. And I felt very strong doing that. There was little fear personally. There was some fear about financially and professionally and what were my parents going to think. And you know, it's a big change in identity when you go from being very corporately, work-wise successful to feeling like that just doesn't mean very much anymore. So those were sort of my wake-up calls sort of along the journey. And from there, Natalie, you know, I went traveling both inward and outward because I had to change. I had to let go of this external identity that I had been given and the world had given me. And sometimes it's easier to just kind of get away from how people view you, even if it's just for a day or a few days. And I started getting back to things that I loved, you know, which I was quite out of touch with. So I loved writing and I loved reading and I loved children and I loved, you know, feeling like I was making a difference. I loved being sort of in tune with life. And I very informally, because I had gone through so much change, I very informally started interviewing people who had gone through big life changes, whether it was, you know, losing a loved one, changing careers, getting divorced, having a baby, losing, you know, losing money. And I wanted to sort of see what made people go through change. And to make a long story short, suddenly I found myself, you know, with an article in Oprah magazine, and then I had a book deal, and then I had a bestseller, and then it just like life kind of took over, which between you and me was interesting, because I remember really praying and saying, you know what, take over this life, take over this life, use me. I clearly went the wrong direction. Now you use
well,
me.
And,
like,
and
do,
it's,
do
and
what
it's
you want
unusual. I'm sure there's people like you out there that have had similar times in their life that were successful in the business world but weren't happy. And I bet it happens
many.
To many, but they don't know what to do. Well, like, you know, for somebody like me, it was the opposite. I was not successful, but I was so inward that I stayed inward even as a little girl. And I talked to whoever wanted to listen to me, just like you. Your books, I told you before we started on the air that I wish I would have had them because they would have helped me along the way, because there's a series and we'll talk about them. But a lot of people, can you imagine how many miserable people there are out there that make all of this money and they come home and they're not happy and they really don't understand why. Why? You know, I can buy what I want. I can go where I want. I can surround myself with beautiful people that are of the same mind, but something is missing. So, you know, I don't really know how you would advise somebody what they would do, but I can bet there's a ton of them, hundreds of them out there that probably wish they would have done something different, but Well, I'm used to having all the money, and it is a very money-oriented world. So you and I have to hope that for those people that didn't make the choice like you, have a good, even life, that they have to understand you have to be spiritual, and they have to also understand that at any moment in time, it can change.
Yeah.
And I've seen it.
Yeah.
What you were going to ask me something. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it's like I have so many things just listening to you. I think the thing that I would want to say to these people, because I've been in that place, is when you think it's a choice, then it's a really difficult decision. So most people think there's a material world where, you know, you make money, you're successful, you can look good, you can have sex, drink wine, have kids. And then there's a spiritual world of people who, you know, wear white, don't have money, are not successful. And there was a time in my life where I saw it as being an either or. If I leave the successful material world, I'm not going to have, you know, those things. And I think the journey I've been on is really to show people that you can have a foot in both worlds. You can be on a spiritual path and fully be in the world and make the money and have the kids and, you know, it's, and I feel like more and more people need to hear that that's possible, and more people are doing that.
Correct. And doesn't mean that you're a bad person because you want to make money, but yet you want to do good things. There are a lot of people that they'll say, and we can use people in the entertainment field, oh, they're such a good person. Look, they do this, this, and this, and they're, maybe that's their way of being spiritual. And then there are some that they just don't give of themselves. And to me, that tells me something about you. You're all ego-oriented. And no matter who I talk to, I always tell them that it's okay to be spiritual. It's okay. I do things for people every day. Now, there are sometimes, some days, and I don't know if it ever happened to you, where you'll give so much of yourself day by day. Sometimes I sit back and I say, okay, God, what about me? Because I'm successful, but you would never know it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people know who I am, not everybody in the world, but they do know. They do know me. They do know my magazine and my other site. But that's not the important thing for me. The important thing is to reach the multitudes so that they can hear, like you with your beautiful story, your beautiful books, all the successes you have, and they're probably listening to you and thinking, wow, she sounds so nice. Well, people, she is really nice. I talked to you before we went on the air. I mean, we hit it off right away.
Of course. So
you know, it's you're a person. You're not some little somebody sitting on a throne here that, oh, I can't talk to her because, no. Don't think that way at all. You can do anything. You can really do anything that you want.
My biggest sort of lesson, and it continues for myself and even in the way I bring up my son, is that it is really okay to be human, to make mistakes, to not be perfect, to not get it right, to have a bad day, to, like, you know, because that wasn't allowed when I was a young girl. And so, you know, my sort of more adult life has just allowed me to see that the more I'm that, actually the more I'm myself and real and authentic, and I connect with children, I connect with grown-ups, this is really now about humanity skills, as I call them, more so than perfection and achievement and performance skills, because those are
exhausting. That's why I really didn't want to. I have a gal who writes up stuff for me and another one who does the marketing, and my one gal, she said, well, how are you going to do this? I said, I'm just going to talk to her. Like I talk to everybody else. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, God appeared before me. I do the same thing. Doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
But see, this is letting people know something about you, something about me, that you can do anything. People are always saying to me, oh, I'm so upset. I can't do this. I can't. Well, how do you know? At least try. At least try. That's what I do. And if it doesn't look like it's not going to fly, because if I wouldn't have continued on, I would never, it took me, my magazine is 19 years old. If I would not have continued on in the very beginning now, and the internet was different, the world was different, I would not be sitting here talking to you.
Yep.
I also believe that if...
We've got so much to say.
I know.
What I tell people is that I call it the woodpecker syndrome, which is, you know, you feel like a tiny little woodpecker in the middle of a forest, and all I say is just pick a tree and just start pecking. And most people will go, my God, that woodpecker's crazy. That tree's never going to fall. Is it, you know, like, because you will hear
right.
that. And your beak will hurt, and it will take time. But there will be a time where your tree falls. But it's little pecks after, and you choose a tree. I think what most people do is they choose five trees. I'm going to do this. And, you know, lack of focus is usually one of the issues with people, where it's like, I often, when I coach people, I say, what's the one thing you want to be absolutely certain of happening by the end of this year? And people look at me and they have no idea. Like, one thing.
Oh,
if I can
yeah.
If you and I speak in 6 months and there's one thing that's happened, what is it? And it, you get this, like, clarity. That's your tree. That's where you start pecking day after day after day. Everything else you can
add to
it. And
I have big, huge pine trees. So I can do that.
Yeah.
Huge ones. I'm the only one that's got all these pine trees with all the pine cones mm-hmm. falling. But, yeah, and see, it's and you don't have to be successful in the world and renowned. People don't have to know who you are. You can just go about what you want to do and what makes you happy, because I believe that that's God's intent, is so that you're happy. But... you know, I'll say this every week, and they're probably thinking she's going to say this again. I believe everybody has a chart. You have pluses and minuses. Pluses are, of course, all the beautiful things you've done for everybody, all the generosities, opening a door, and all of that. And then there's the minus column. And I always feel that when it's time for you to pass, God's going to look at this. Well, what happened over here? You shouldn't have anything there. Well, we're allowed. We really are allowed. That's what I would say if you asked.
Yeah,
I'm allowed.
Yeah.
I was a little girl. Maybe I punched some little boy in the face because he threw a rock at me. But I was allowed. I was defending myself. But you know what I'm saying? It's really okay. And being generous, you can be generous with just words, just your time. I have people asking me things all the time, and I always take the time to talk to them. It doesn't matter who they are.
Yep, of course.
And I just think that's a wonderful thing. Now, what I want to talk about, of course, we want to talk about your books, but the first thing I want to talk about is this site that you have, unless you want to keep talking about something else. I'll listen
Go. I love your question.
Go. She likes what I'm doing. Hey, Mikey, she likes it. Your one site. I mean, you've done a lot. You've got one with your name. You've got Giggles and Joy, which is your series of books. You have mindful365.com. That's the one I want to know about. That
yes.
is the one that stood out. Now, what exactly is that? That's your baby, isn't it?
Well, actually, my most recent baby is Giggles and Joy, which is the spiritual kids book series. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes.
So mindful365. Came out of the fact that I've realized that so many people are living busy, busy lives in cities and really have no time to read the spiritual books or go to the personal development seminar or start meditating or get a yoga class, or they just don't have the time. And so I thought, well, how? But they really are sincere in their desire to want to learn and grow. And I thought, well, where are they? What are they doing? What do they have? And the truth is, they have their phone, right? And even though I was pretty resistant to putting stuff on their phone, that is their most loyal companion during the day. And I thought, is there a way for me to take them on a journey where once a day I give them a bite-sized piece of content from everything and anything that I've seen and read and learned in the last 25 years of my spiritual journey, so that they get the very best of what I've seen and learned without having to not only spend all the money, but take all the time to read, to go to, you know, seminars, healers, coaches, etc. So what it is, it's an app that you can download from, you know, the app store, and it stays with you for a year, and it sends you a question. It sends you something to do for someone else. It sends you an idea for you to contemplate for the day. And it's a paragraph of content. It'll take you 2 minutes to read. It lets you set an alarm, so you can get it at 6 in the morning or at 9 in the morning. It reminds you at the end of the day as well, just to help you stay mindful and stay present and stay aware and stay conscious in the midst of a big job or screaming kids or a fight with your husband. It's sort of your...
Or something, anything.
Yeah,
anything is good for anything every day.
Exactly. It's a mindful companion. And what I did is I took all the subjects that are important to people, whether it's, you know, finances, work, relationships, love, their health, self-care, you know, their purpose and connection, why they're even here on the planet. And I sort of interspersed it so, you know, you don't know which one you're going to get tomorrow. So it's like a lovely, fun adventure. You know, there's a community. You can journal and take notes if you're noticing things. But it's sort of a commitment to yourself to wake up, to learn, to do the work while you're on the subway, wherever. So it's Mindful 365.
Well, it's very, very interesting. And then I saw a picture. I think it was probably on one of your websites of a glass, and it has these little tabs. It had like love, money, job. You know how when you go to some place and if somebody's selling something, they put their phone number and you rip it off and you take it home?
Yes.
I don't know where I saw it, but it was with you. But maybe it had to do with your 365, your mindful 365. I don't know. But I saw that, and I thought, how interesting is that? Because every day, I mean, it encompassed almost everything that you could encounter in a day. You know, husband, boyfriend, romance, work, boss, blah, 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 all of these things. And to me, it made me feel like, okay, I'll rip this off.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna put it somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I've taken it off that glass or taken it off that board like a reminder, this is it, and it doesn't bother me anymore. It's almost like a, okay, let's take this away. I'm having trouble with this. Well, mine is always on the computer. My computer's never acting up. I would die. But I mean, you know, something for me like that bothered me for the day. And yes, everybody, Natalie does get bothered by certain things, and but that's because of my past. But I think that that's really a good thing because it's like taking this little tab, take it, put it away somewhere. Okay, you go back to your tabs now. What's next for tomorrow? Well, I don't know. Nothing. I skip tomorrow because it's good. Today's a good day.
Yep.
And, you know, you said something about it's okay to have a bad day. Forgive yourself for things that maybe you weren't, maybe you said something and you think, oh, I shouldn't have said that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's okay. That's what you're here for. You're here to learn and to be. And if you beat yourself up with, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gone there. And even say it's a relationship. I should have dumped him before. All these kinds of things. It's okay. Who's going to come and say it's not? Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to do anything to you. You're doing it to yourself.
Yeah. It's interesting because one of the things that I've been most passionate about lately, whether it's for grown-ups and for children, is to develop what I call a kind mind. And I can tell you there's plenty of times my mind is not kind. And I'm talking kind towards self more than kind towards others. Because we've all been taught to be taught kind towards others, right? I mean, every parent, every school teaches that to children.
You're right.
But
I can agree to that, yes.
Right. We are not told to be kind to self. It's not something you've usually heard. And we grow up, eventually, whether it's the teenagers that we now see or, you know, grown men and women, most people do not have a kind mind. It is full of self-disapproval, full of self-criticism, full of self-blame, full of self-regret. And that's what we carry around and is trying to have us, you know, have a good day. And so it really starts with the your self-kindness, self-compassion, self-love, self-forgiveness, self-everything. And I'm so intimately familiar with this because there are plenty of mornings where I wake up and my mind, I don't know why, has decided not to be kind. But there's an aware part of me that can kind of watch it and witness it and go, oh, okay, this mind is going to beat me up today or this morning. And that's where, you know, the importance of being able to see that you are not that kind, unkind mind, right? You are the chooser. You are the observer. You are the one that can kind of go, okay, mind, you know, thanks for the punches in the face. Thanks for the reminders of the three things I shouldn't have done or could have done. So do you see it's sort of the importance of like cultivating that, because your mind is like a garden. It's like, you know, every self-criticism is one more weed, and then you never take the time to take those out. And that is
exactly.
Like,
and if you're lucky enough to have what I call champions around you, like I have, they love you. It doesn't. I mean, and I have them. I have this one lady, especially. She's been with me since 1999. She's like my spiritual mentor. And I was having a very bad afternoon yesterday. Who knows why? Mm-hmm. I just maybe it was feel sorry for Natalie. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. I'm healthy. I'm spiritual, I'm very giving, I'm loving. I don't know. It was some things from my past, I guess. So I'm not feeling really good. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to God. Okay, you know, I don't like this part. Or, I don't yell at him. I'll just say, now, what happened today? Now, what was that all about? I do that. But when I sat there, and you know, the phone rang, and it was her.
Huh.
And I said, why did you call? Oh, I don't know. I just get this idea, you know, thought, call Natalie. She said, why? I said, because I was having a terrible time. She said, well, isn't that something? She's very spiritual. She's very, she'll say to me, you know what I have always told you, and I'm going to tell you again, trust God.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Stop trying to put round things into square holes. Square places, not holes, so it's square places. She stopped trying to make it happen. When you trust God, you know, you can say what you want. And I do this every day. I talk to him. You can say what you'd like. Well, this is what I'm not married. This is what I would really like in a man. Yeah. I know probably you're not gonna go for that, and you're not gonna give me the one that I really want. Okay, I get that. However, I have the right to refuse. And I'll say to him, listen, this is funny. You can bet your sweet life that if it's not the one I want, because I'm picky now, I'm just going to toss it aside. So don't waste your time, I'll tell him.
Yeah.
So bad.
I
but,
love it.
But, you know, she'll call me like that out of the blue, you know, and she said, I don't know, just something said, call Natalie. And I hear her, and she calms me right down. She's really the only one that can do it, and she's the only one because she's been with me throughout all of the things that have happened in my life, and she knows what to do, and it worked, and I was fine. It was like the faucet turned off.
It's beautiful.
So if we can
have people like that
I call champions.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
What I hear when you're saying that is when I hear trust God, I also hear God saying to us, that means trust yourself. Right, which is
who says you're doing something wrong? You're not.
Right. For me, it's sort of you know the trusting myself happened when I started turning what I call my inner microphone on. You know, otherwise known as intuition, but I preferred it because when around 30, 32, when I was engaged to the wrong guy, I was in the wrong job. Like everything just felt like externally right and internally wrong. I had to turn that inner microphone on. It to me, that is my connection to the divine and to source. And it's like you're either listening or you're not. And sometimes the microphone is telling you things you do not want to hear. You are married to the wrong person. Like, of course you don't want to hear that. And then your life starts, you know, being full of pain and suffering because there's no listening. There's no inner listening. And I think if only we could turn that microphone up so we realize that that voice is always helping, guiding. It can appear to be painful, but actually what's on the other side of that is, you know, peace and like inner truth in some ways.
But I don't know if there really is anyone. I mean, I don't know anyone that doesn't have issues at least every day, once a day, once every other day.
No,
I mean, I think that's life and that's part of the experience and why we're here. We need to experience all these things. And somebody said to me, well, okay, why can't things just be fixed? like anything, anything that we find that's troubling. I said, because there's a plan. It's like you do this to do this to do this and so on. It'll take, and if it were that way, it would be absolutely perfect. You wouldn't have to work for anything. You could just sit there and have somebody feeding you grapes, be like a queen. You know, it's not like that. It doesn't work that way. And I've had in my life painful things that have happened, but a lot of it stayed with me. And it's only now that I'm actually, probably the interviews are helping me, like talking to you, I'm getting this feeling from you that, you really are going to make it, Natalie. It's going to be okay. You're doing the right thing, because you and I talked about me doing interviews, and we used to just talk, Maya Moon and I used to just talk about subjects like angels and archangels and what is God, who is God, and then I didn't do it for 3 months, and I had a problem, and I guess I'm kind of just bending your ear, but they're listening anyways, they love it. I had a problem with getting back to talking on the radio again. I mean, you're just talking in your phone, but it's on the air. I had a problem the first week. I had a dear friend of mine. You might know her, Susan Barnes. Do you know her?
I don't. No.
She's an author. But anyways, I chose her because she's my friend. And I told her, I said, this might be a little tough for me. Well, actually, the first week I was interviewed by a gentleman. And in the beginning, first few minutes were not good. But by the time I got to Susan the following week, because she loves me, and I knew it would be a nice interaction, I didn't have to, like, pull answers out of her, but I really don't. People don't come to me like that. They come to me like you. They're wonderful, and and then I got back into the saddle, so to speak, and here I am doing them every week. And I was only going to do them twice a month. And then I have, like, somebody like your publicist that says, oh, no, I'm going to fill that dance card right up. Who do you want? Just give me a list. She came to me, Ariane. We were emailing back and forth. She'd send me articles. We'd do X's and O's and all of that. And it took time, maybe a year or something like that. And finally she said, why don't you call me? And that was all it took, was me to talk to her on the phone. But see how things happen? Little doors open, and they probably did that for you, right? Didn't you have, you started something, and then pretty soon another door opened? Like, how in the world did you write a book that became a bestseller? How?
You know, I did
not that you couldn't do it, but...
Yeah. I did
well,
something
what's the
I was
what did you write about? I did not read it. I only got the giggles
and joy
stuff. But
Well, the bestseller is called The First 30 Days. It's a book on helping people through life change. And, you know, I went with something I knew. I went with something, a question that I had. The question that started the book was, why are some people good at change and some people have such a hard time? Why do some people get through a tough change and some people never do? Why do some people make a change and some people just talk about it? And I just wanted to find the answer. I never set out to write a book. I never set out to be a bestseller. I never thought I could speak in public. I had never done any press, you know, of any kind. But I went, I kind of followed a thread. And, you know, I did the same thing with the Giggles and Joy book series, where I sort of was like, I am so passionate about, you know, raising our tiny humans and making sure that they are conscious and that their spirituality stays intact. I don't even think you need to teach it. I just think you need to leave it there the way it is. And you need to, you know, remind parents and teachers that we need to educate our children below the neck, their heart, their spirit. That's what's going to create
beautiful
souls.
I love how you said that, below the neck. And I knew right away what you were talking about.
Yeah,
exactly.
Going into the world. But the same thing, I didn't set out to sort of, I never thought I'd write a children's book. I had to find an illustrator. I had to figure out themes. I had to, like, this was not, I've never taken a writing course in my life, right? So I felt it's sort of, what is something that has either been painful for me or I just see an opportunity to add some light or some comfort or some wisdom or some knowledge, and I let myself be used. And so you know, with these kids' books, first of all, having had a child, I have a four-year-old now, and being around children and parents who really are trying their best, you know, absolutely. But it's like, how can I help? How can I serve? Right? That's always the question that starts off a book. If the world makes it a bestseller, if the divine feels that it's right, you know, would I want nothing more than for every child to have these books? Of course, you know, there's a place on my website for, you know, teachers or people who really cannot afford the book. I've sent off
everybody should have these in
books.
Their home that have children.
Yeah.
Everybody. I don't physically have the book, but she sent me the media kit and everything that I needed. I mean, I have pages about you, but I can tell right away. Something my gal put on my dashboard, I have to ask you before I forget. You spent a year as a senior advisor on a humanitarian project called A Day in the Life of Africa?
Yes. So after after I left the corporate world, and I, you know, was very empty of meaning and purpose and contribution, and, you know, my whole life up until that point had been very me, self-concern. I thought, you know, the way that I need to sort of feel back into what matters is to work on a nonprofit or some form of experience where I get to give my gifts and not take from it. And I got involved in a publishing project where they put 100 of the world's best photographers and photojournalists in every country in Africa on the same day. So for 24 hours, they had the best photographers in the world basically capturing life in Africa. And, you know, I raised some of the money for it. We got the book done. It got, you know, covers of magazines. It raised lots of money for projects in Africa. But, you know, what was amazing for me was to realize that even though I'd been in the corporate world, that I could be an entrepreneur. I could call up and make some phone calls. I could raise some money. I could ask the press to cover
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know,
the reason I mentioned that
I did not
is
have
that's
a
one of the that's my only trip I ever want to take is to go to Africa. I love giraffes. Everybody that knows me knows where I want to go. And
so
I saw that.
You know that I'm married to a South African, and that I've literally just.
No, you see, this was divine order in the making.
See.
Perfect.
I've just lived in South Africa in Cape Town for the last 5 years, and we've just moved back to New York. So, yeah, Africa is there is a real connection to the earth and soul and Mother Earth and Divine Mother,
and
there's something very special there.
Oh, I follow everybody that's got pictures, and I adopted a giraffe, and I'm just like cuckoo. I mean, I have giraffes all over my house. Anybody gets me anything, they get me a giraffe because I love them. And then I'm developing a fondness for the elephants, and I love the lions. And my son said to me, Mother, why do you pick all these big things to love? You're 5'2". I said, I don't know because I have an affinity to them because I just know. And I'm writing a fairy tale, I have to tell you. It's very magical. And it does, the couple, they do end up in Africa, but you would say, oh, this could never happen, but it can.
Wow.
And but anyways, when I saw it, jumped out at me, and I thought, oh, God, I got to ask her about Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, God.
my son was born in Africa. We try and just keep that heritage alive for him, you know, like there's a connection to ancient wisdom, you know, and now I wanted my child to be a global kid. So even though we grew up there and, you know, he was around nature, I also wanted him to be very functional in a city, you know. So we're in New York and I want a child too to be fully integrated where it's not just, you know, the beauty and the ocean and the but
right,
also
because
realize
sometimes
that,
it's not that beautiful. Exactly. You want him to see it all.
Of
and
course.
To learn from
you
it
know,
all,
life.
Exactly.
That's life. They've
well,
got to
it really,
prepare.
Really
they've
is.
Got to, they've got to face disappointment. They've got to face problems. They've got to see poverty. You know, it's like that's part of why they're here. And they're resilient.
So do you like
they
living in New York?
It. I do. I mean, I lived in New York in my 20s and early 30s as a single person, which was very different to my life now. But I do, you know, it's a real, it's a spiritual retreat for me in the sense of I get to see how I'm doing with, you know, the intensity and the pressure and the comparison and the success and the, it's sort of, it's constantly there. And so there's a real way for me to check in on, you know, it's much easier for me to go be spiritual in Cape Town or Bali. But you try and do
right.
it in New York
right.
City, that's, you know, it's a real opportunity to just wake up and just be. And you get to be loving, and you get to be kind, and you get to be patient, and you get to notice someone on the street, you know, who needs, you know, my son
right.
on his
I've
way
never
to school,
been there.
He says good morning to everyone, and he says have a great day, and that's sort of like, well, that's a beautiful thing for a four-year-old, like we should all do that, you know, so.
It is, because that's what you do, and I know that's what I do.
Yep.
I always tell everybody, hi, have a great
yeah.
day, always,
yep.
always,
yep.
that's just,
yeah.
you know,
Those
I'm in South
matter.
Carolina. And I've never, but I'm originally from Michigan, but I've never been in New York. I've been to California only once, and I've never been out of the United States. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
But on my list, I have a mental list. I don't even have to write it down. God knows what I want to do.
Yes.
I keep telling them every day. That's what I want to do. And my son is just amazed. I have an older son, and I have a granddaughter. Mm. And, you know, he looks at me, he says, but why do you want to go there? Because I said, I want to be up close. I've already touched giraffes. I was fortunate. Mm. I was at, believe it or not, Busch Gardens, and the lady picked me out. This was another divine order thing. She picked me out of all these people. She said, come here. And I'm looking around. Me? She said, yeah, you. I'm the smallest one, right? So I walk up to the front, and she says, stand here. And I'm thinking, and we're on like this steak truck, and we're out in the open, and there were all kinds of animals and things. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll get to see what I want to see. She said, you stand here, and you're going to see something. Well, she knew, first of all, she knew that I loved giraffes. I mean, everybody in that whole truck knew that. And so I stood there, and two of them came up, and they put their heads around me.
Oh.
She stood back, and you know how they were like, it was such a loving moment. My husband got it on camera, on film, and she looked, and she had this look on her face. She said, I can't believe it. She said, I just had this feeling about you, but she said, I didn't think that they would do this. And I mean, I was just like, I was like flying. I mean, I could not believe this. And they felt like rugs, you know what they're like. But it was one of the most beautiful things that have ever happened to me, just out of the blue, you know. And so that's it's not a bucket list. I don't have a bucket list. I don't want to do that. This is just on my list of things that I would really like to do. But anyways, let's start. Keep talking about you. This show is supposed to be about you, not about me. Although I love talking to you, I could talk to you for hours. Oh my goodness.
Yes,
I know. I knew we would hit it off. Now you have another site called first30days.com. Now what is that one?
So first30days is a site that I started 10 years ago to help people through specific life changes. So the first 30 days of losing weight, the first 30 days of starting a business, the first 30 days of making more money, the first 30 days of getting married. So there's 60 different life changes. Everything's free. We handhold you through the first month. There's interviews with experts. I used to also have a podcast. There's stories of other regular normal people who've been through that change, so that we don't all have to reinvent the wheel. Like, there's millions of other people who have been through these changes, whether it's a health diagnosis, whether it's, you know, having a child. And so I wanted to sort of gather the wisdom of the experts and regular people who had been through change to make that change journey easier for people.
So the first 30 days is the most important, right?
I think there's a lot of, you know, the psychiatrists and PhDs, of which I'm not, say that it takes between 21 and 28 days for the brain to really get with the program that a change is happening or has happened. And so you really need to get the brain, the part of the brain that needs to, you know, change, you need to get to at least a month for it to become a habit and to change. So it was a metaphor. It was more of an entry point. 30 days is not overwhelming for people. It's not, you know, the first 30 days of quitting smoking sounds easier than you will quit smoking for the rest of your life. So it was an entry point. It's more of a metaphor. And obviously the book is of the same name. I don't work full time on that site anymore, but that site is definitely still available. Like so much of that information is still very current for people today.
Okay, let's talk about, I guess you call it, and it's really your baby, is the Giggles and Joy series. I call it the Dynamic Trio.
Yeah.
It really, really is. Well, it really, really is. I mean, the first one is Giggles and Joy, then You Are Loved, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then the last one is being you. Okay,
yes.
Now, so I'm assuming that does it matter what age, like Giggles and Joy, the first one, is that for really young children? Tell me about the series.
No, so it's a trilogy of books. So it's three books for now. Hopefully we'll put out a few more. And, you know, I was saying these poems to young children, including my own, like at the age of 6 months, a year and a half. Why? Because I really believe that there is a soul there that is fully aware, is not a baby, and that, you know, with our children, we need to sort of respect the fact that there is just such purity and wisdom. So to me, I would say this book series is for babies till I'd say 7 or 8 year olds, and all three books are applied. Like I've given this book for baby showers and christenings, and you know, and all the way through to children when they can start reading them themselves. And you see them, you know, in their bed reading the book about, you know, kindness or telling the truth or breathing or, you know, having a bad day or, you know, being sick. Because I wanted the series to really cover like all the different themes and life events that children go through, and to also give parents, grandparents, teachers, you know, godparents, whoever it is that has the privilege of being around the child, a way to start the conversation with the child about, you know, joy, about diversity, about, you know, being overwhelmed at school or being sad or being mad. Like their emotions that and things that children experience. And I wanted to give language to that that was right for children, and also a way that parents could start having a conversation about them. And they're beautifully illustrated, in, you know, very colorful. They're very
fun. Oh yeah,
fun.
They are. But, I've got the prints.
Know,
I can tell
yeah,
you what they're like. They're just,
you know,
they're magnificent.
You'll have like,
so they're not for a specific age group, and you don't have to start with the first one. Okay.
No.
You can buy
together. You can buy one by itself and just start and see if you like it. There's a gift pack that's available with all three.
I know, I saw all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought of it all. It's just, and you know, it's got like being you. It's got everything from like Africa. It's got elephants and little baby ones. I call any little baby animal boopies. I even put that on my Instagram. Those are little boopies. This one guy wrote me back. He said, "What is this?" I said, "Boopies, they're little babies. They're just little babies." And I feel something for them. And you know, so you've got that on being you, and then you've got like cats and everything, and a big tree and Giggles and Joy. And then you've got, you know, fish, and you've got pigs. You Are Loved. But the titles mean something just in itself. Like, so that's why I thought, well, Giggles and Joy would be for the really little, smaller ones, like maybe 4 or 5.
Now, think about it, Natalie. I feel I need Giggles and Joy daily. And I'm in my 40s. So really, like, there are much older kids.
I'd like
kids,
to get them
whether
for myself.
They are,
I'll have my granddaughter read them. She's 14.
Yeah. Whether they're 5 or 10 or 25 or 55, there are messages in those books. Sometimes, and I wrote this in the introduction, sometimes I feel like I wrote the books for myself, because when I'm reading these books, there have been times where, you know, there's one of the poems in Giggles and Joy is called Bye Bye Bad Day. And there have been times where I've had parents email me and said, you know what, I had to sort of hide my tears because I was having such a bad day, i.e. parent, and I was reading this to my child, you know, and showing them that it's okay and fine, and you wrap up the day, as we were talking earlier, and you let it go, and you don't put it in your backpack and carry it around the next day. So Yeah, no, I feel like all the themes, you know, giggles and joy to me was more of sort of what's going on the inside of your child, right? Because we focus so much on the outside. You are loved with
Right.
really a sense of, you know, you are loved no matter what, whatever you hit in baseball, whatever performance, whatever age you start walking, you are loved no matter what. And that whole book is about all different kinds of love and all different kinds of beauty. And Being You is really a book about, you know, allowing them to be fully, fully themselves and not fit in with, you know, the consensus mass consciousness that's going to tell them that they
and
have
love
to
them,
fit
and
in.
Love themselves, that they're really,
you know,
doing everything right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's like life lessons.
Well.
I mean, like I said, I would like my granddaughter to read these because
absolutely.
She's 14.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm sure she's actually going to help me on my book. And the reason being is because I asked her about it. Her eyes lit up like saucers. She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, really." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why? Why do you want me?" I said, "Because I want your take on it. I want this to be for kids even your age. Even though you are a teenager, it doesn't matter." For me, and I always end my show, is believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. That's with me because I have seen things, and I'm living proof that they really are there. So, you know, and many of us have. Some of us haven't, but I want people to know that goes with me. That's what I am. And, I think I'm going to get these because, first of all, they're going to be for me, and then I'm going to turn them over to her, and we spend time weekly, and I'm going to have her choose one. What do you want to read about? Which one do you want? And she's going to say, well, aren't they in order? No. Which one do
not
you
at
want?
All. Yeah, no, I get my son to just pick one, and you know, it's funny. Like one of his favorite ones is the being sick one because it's all about aliens, and the aliens are throwing up, and the aliens are, you know, in the bed in their flying saucer, and the aliens are being chased by germs, and like it's really trying to get into the mind of a child as to how they would view that experience, but at the same time, sort of lifting them up, like. You know, my favorite poem is very different than my husband's. You should tell me, you read them and tell me which one's your favorite, Natalie. I'd be very curious. And it's probably something going on with you right now, right? It's usually a theme that is applicable. I think, you know, so much, and this is such an important thing that I want to say, which is, you know, for us as parents, grandparents, caretakers of any kind to children, it's so important for us to be conscious. Because you can read or teach anything spiritual to your kids or health or whatever it is. But the truth is all they are looking at is us as role models. And so
that's right.
We cannot teach a child self-kindness if they see us, you know, being mean to ourselves. It's out of integrity. And so much of the work that I want to do next is to actually help parents, teachers.
Which is what I'm going to ask you about. What is next?
By the way,
you can get this book, these series of books at gigglesandjoy.com. She has it there. You'll see, you're going to see these books and you're going to fall in love with them. And like I said, I feel that everyone should have them to read because you always have younger people around. And like I have a 14-year-old around me. Well, it doesn't mean she's 6 or 7. She's still...
Yeah.
Learning, she's experiencing, she's realizing what makes her feel sad, what makes her happy, and if something like that can help her, I'm all for that. I mean, you know, I always tell her I'd step in front of a bus for you, and she said, you know, she calls me Grambo, like Rambo, I'm Grambo. she said, and Gramsicle, and she says, you know, she says, I tell everybody about you, and I said, why? She says, because you're the smallest, but you're the toughest. I said, well, I'm very kind, you know. I mean, I can flip over and show you another side only when I really have to. And I don't think I've ever done it except, like I said, when I punched that kid in the face because he hit me with a rock. But I was only 7 years old, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so I retaliated.
Yeah.
That was okay. That made me feel good, and nobody ever bothered anybody in the neighborhood again. But, you know, she said to me, she calls me Grambo, like Rambo, and I'm Gramsicle to her. Gramsicle.
It's lovely.
To me, that's really words of endearment. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I really love it.
I'm sure you're I'm sure you're an example of the fact that, you know, having emotions and having feelings and doing the work, like, that stuff is valuable, you know. And I think the emotional lives of our children should be top priority, you know, and their spiritual health. You look at, you know, depressed teenagers, even like the level of depression in grown-ups and adults these days. Like, everyone's talking about mental health, but no one's talking about spiritual health. You know, there's a spiritual crisis. It's the reason I put spiritual life lessons on the cover, because it is forgotten. It is not something that we are cherishing. No one gets an A+ in school for anything spiritual. And unfortunately, you know, it's why there's so much emptiness, there's so much depression, there's so much loneliness. That's a little,
right.
You know, if I can do one tiny little thing.
Everybody's confused, actually. They really don't have good direction. And, you know, I was raised as a Catholic, so I went to church. But eventually I sat there and looked around, and I thought, well, why do I have to come here? I can talk to God at home. I didn't tell my mother that. But that's what I thought. And it was probably when I was going to make my first Holy Communion. So whatever age that was, 10, 9, whatever, it was then I realized that. But I didn't do anything about it or with it. And until, like I said, maybe 20 years ago, I started my first site and I realized what I could do. And it was just...
Good for you. It's amazing. And it's
gather,
great that
well, gather,
did
I still
what
don't
you
know,
did.
But gather people. People follow me. People want to be a part of what I do. And when somebody says, well, I've heard all these wonderful things about you, Natalie, that you're so nice to work for. Well, I am. I am nice to work for. I love you. You're part. When I bring you into my site, you're part of my family. We are all family. We take care of each other. You just do what you're supposed to do, and I got your back. That's the deal, and that's how I do it. And and it's worked. You know, I would. You know, I'm hoping that things will be more successful. Not for me, for them. You know, my magazine is doing well. It's doing well, I put a lot of time.
Yeah, the thing that I would say for you and for anyone listening is, you know, one of the worst things we do as human beings is we think we're alone. So whether it's dealing with something tough or even with an idea that we want to put in the world, and, you know, nothing ever gets done by yourself. And so the sooner you can reach out, ask for help, share an idea, share a problem, like, I taught my son age 3 that, you know, one of the most powerful things he can ever say is, I need help, from a powerful place, right? Not from a poor me, I'm, you know, broken and I don't have the resources. Saying, like, I need help is such a strong thing. And, you know, for me to, you're in my community and my life now, Natalie, for me to say, you know what, I need help, or how can I support you? Or you, it's just needs to be part of the
conversation.
Exactly,
that's the whole
and
thing.
Come from come from a good, full place, not an empty place. So it's like, you know, who can help? I ask people all the time.
Yeah, and it's great. And see, by having you on, some people would say, well, how did she get here? Well, I put the word out, and Dia, bless her. Okay, who else you want?
Yeah.
You know, but she loves me. That's why. See, she knows what kind of person I am. I'm good people. She knows that, and she knows, you know, she's helping me in any way she can, and I love her for it. And I already love you, you know. But I want to ask you before we go. So what's next? What are you doing next? Are you writing? What's on the agenda for you?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that are next. One is I want to create an online course. For parents and grown-ups to help them teach life skills to kids, because it's the question I keep getting, which is, well, okay, I want to teach my kid about intuition. I have no idea how to do it. Or I want to teach my kid about, you know, self-compassion. I don't know how to do that. So I want to meet the parents and grown-ups in there and sort of create a course online so that I can help you, I can show you, I can give you an example, I can, you know, bring in experts who can teach us, well, what are the 5, 6, 7 most important life skills that we need to be teaching our kids, and practically, how does that look and how do we do that? So that's on my plate. I've also decided to coach a few more people. So I coach people one-on-one of all types, you know, whether it's moms, whether it's executive CEOs, whether it's people who are in transition. So I've got some time to take a few more coaching clients. And then I've also got, you know, I've always got a book in me. And so I'm playing around with another book, which is really showing people that it is possible to have a foot in both worlds. And so it really is possible to live in New York, have money, have kids, you know, have whatever life that it is you've imagined for yourself, and really have a committed, beautiful spiritual path and practice, and to have those help each other out and not be in conflict. So that looks like
and
it's going to
really
be my
nice
next right
you are.
Project.
You are,
as soon as we said hello,
I knew right away, and I told my gal that does work for me, I said, oh, I'm not worried about it, we're going to hit it off very, very well,
yeah.
And then I saw Africa, and I thought, oh, yes, we are really going to hit it off now,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But that's all, those are little synchronicities, those are little things that happen that, you know, let you know that yes, this is right, and I have been so honored. We're right on the hour, but I let it run a little bit. Is there anything you would like to say in closing, Ariane?
You're sweet. No, I was going to say thanks to you for the work you've done in the world for way longer than I have in this space. Thanks for the opportunity to share, you know, my little projects and my hope for kids and. Yeah, well, let's keep in touch and let's see how we can help each other out. And to anyone listening,
absolutely,
you know,
we will.
Please.
I want to talk to you again. We will talk again. I'll get the info from Dia. You know, when you're a publicist, she keeps everything close to the chest. She doesn't tell you anything. Oh, no, I'll set it up. Okay. I respect that. But, yeah, I will get in touch with you. And you're wonderful. And I already love you. And I'm sure my audience loves you, too. And when I say that, I don't say that. I mean, it's coming from my heart, right inside. I can tell what kind of a person you are, that, you know, that you're out to do really good things. And we may have you on again, maybe when you've got something else going, or you might, you know, once we exchange email addresses, you might say, hey, Natalie, I got something that I want to share on the show. Oh, I'll make time for you any day, anytime.
Thank you, Natalie. Really appreciate it.
Okay. And you have a good evening, and I want to tell all my listeners where you can get her books, Giggles and Joy at gigglesandjoy.com. She's got her own website, and that's Ariane D. Bonvoisin, and she told me to say it that way, even though that's not the way you say it, but it is ArianeDeBonvoisin.com. And you can always contact me on Messenger. Send me an email, starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com or starscast@starpsychics.com. That's with a Z. Everybody knows what else I do. And I'll connect you. I'll help you. Anything that you really need. And thank you again, Ariane. I've enjoyed this immensely.
Me too. Blessings on you and everyone.
And have a good
listening.
Evening. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Lots of love.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.